pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Annisquam and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Volderman?
Here.
Mrs. Bassan?
Here.
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Mr. Patani?
Here.
Mrs. Herbert?
Here.
Mr. Hobiner?
Here.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Lucretta?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollak?
Here.
Mr. Serena?
No, he hasn't called me.
Mr. Vitale?
Here.
We have four.
Mission statement. The Annisquam School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular meeting of June 14th, 2020? Mr. Danny? Mr.
You first.
Mr. Volderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassan?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Hobiner?
Abstain.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Abstain.
Carried.
Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant for 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, would anyone like to be heard on items not on this agenda?
Why, well, thank you. Just a quick note regarding our principals and directors' reports. For the August meeting, I am asking to move the report of each principal to the discussion items for the committee of a whole to afford the board an opportunity to ask questions. I'm asking my principals to present a 3-year vision of where they want to bring the schools, both academically and athletically, and they will present that to the board. The directors will be in their presentation position as they normally are. And then following this year, we'll, every other month, our directors and our principals will be at the board meeting to give their presentations. Regarding education, curriculum, and technology, we had a very successful trip to ISTE, which we brought back some concepts and ideas, which we will be talking about in August with the board. Of course, our personnel will be discussed in the executive session. Any questions at all on our policies and regulations? One of the policies I did ask you to take a look at was the one regarding our facilities use. And in taking a look at our facilities use, and you did get that calendar out to the board, and we'll be doing that for you monthly. It seems to be lightly used on Sundays now, and the Sundays utilization will pick up. The gates are being closed at 8 o'clock at night. The only outside agency that utilizes it as of we speak is the lacrosse group.
The only outside organization that is in recreation is right now is Mad Dog Lacrosse.
It's Mad Dog Lacrosse. Basically, it's just utilized by our teams. Captain practices have been out there, and usually course of the school day. I had a discussion with Chief Bauer again, and about gates being closed at 8 o'clock, and then him having send a car around just to make sure that there wasn't anybody on the field. And he said, fine, he would do that, and they have to be chased off if they are. And we had a discussion about excessive noise as well after 8 o'clock. So
they are on there every night, just so you know. Mm-hmm. Every night there's 20 bikes. They climb over the fence.
Okay, so let's look at that for a second. Knowing that,
when I used to pull up and tell them to get out, and then I stopped because no one listened anyway.
Well, I want to hear from you exactly what you want to do with that. You want to leave the 20 bikes on the field, not bikes, but the children on the field. You want the chief to actively be engaged in removing them. I think that, fiscally speaking, if we had a security guard there, it would not be responsible for us. It'd be quite costly.
No, I get it, but what if somebody gets hurt and they bring a lot of drinks on them?
Okay, I haven't gotten any complaints from my custodians or maintenance about cleaning up the fields.
I'm not saying they're leaving them there, but I thought they weren't allowed on the field.
They're not. Okay. That's why I'm glad you're throwing that out for committee of a whole to discuss. What would you like us to do about that? Do you want us to take some action on that? Or?
I don't bother anything. Other than having to climb the fence to get in there, if we just left it open, we could just go in.
Okay.
But what happens if somebody gets hurt there, breaks an arm, gets bangs heads, is that on us?
No.
I can take it. We've discussed that with our insurance agent. We're really at no liability if someone comes on the field, especially if they break onto the field.
After the time.
Unless there's a known dangerous condition that we've left unattended.
Or what's called an attractive nuisance.
Yeah.
Meaning we're basically leaving it open for them to fall into a pit.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Is there a feeling on the board that you want to leave the gates open since they're climbing over the top?
At night?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
When the gates are open, that's the attractive nuisance.
Yeah.
That's when you're inviting them in.
I'm just blowing it out there. So you want to keep things where they are, and I'll just reiterate with the chief that there are some students on the field. If you could send the card around more often to ask them to get off the field.
Because we've changed it so many times, what is it? Is there a signage that says
yep.
Field closing at 8 p.m.?
So at dusk.
At dusk, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what more do you mean?
Yeah. So keep it. Well, yeah. I just said I would take a look at it, and I have. You had the schedule, so you know who's on there. We built it for the students, but to be open between the times that school gets out to the time it gets dark, and then we close the gates. So.
Do we have cameras down there?
Yes, we do.
We did get new neighbors in the house right next door, and they love the field.
Well, it's good to hear.
So that is good to hear. They just moved in yesterday.
They did.
Just telling you what they said.
Coming in from the other side, it's gated as well from the high school, from our side here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right, so.
It's gated
right here. All sides. Yes,
yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
But there is a gate.
There's a gate that's typically open from the turf, from the grass field down, we leave that gate open, but you can't, unless you climb this fence, there's no way you can get on without climbing a fence.
Okay.
And one of the things that Pete and I, and you have reached out to the Recreation Department or emailed them about, they do have rec football, I believe.
They play flag football, and the Jersey Shore Soccer League plays there as well.
And we have asked them to park in the administration parking lot, and also on the driveway that we have created, instead of parking on the side of the field, which would be a problem, near North Main, would be a problem for the homeowners. And they've acquiesced, and I think we are going to put that in the agreement as well.
Well, it wouldn't be in our agreement. When I asked Pip and Steve Antonucci, who run rec for the town, is that in all communications with participants in the rec programs who are on that field, to just include in that, please park down here. Typically, it's not a big issue because they're always after school hours, so there's plenty of parking down here. It's just a matter of getting people down.
And on the gravel road, there's a lot of parking there now anyway. I mean, there's too many cars parked there when we have lacrosse games, but, you know, I haven't said anything. We let them there, and we drive very carefully to make sure you don't hit anybody. And we haven't had any accidents for any lacrosse games that we've had or field hockey games. So that has taken some parking off the streets. So go ahead.
Does the bus have to park over there? Kind of looks.
The bus is supposed to park on the gravel road.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's always.
The reason why the bus parks on the gravel road, because the complaint.
No, on gravel road's fine, but it's parked like.
We park it next to the field. We park it there because that's the most secure place. It's locked in. We can move it to the gravel road. It's more accessible.
Oh, you're talking about our bus?
Yeah. Just looks, I don't know. Just.
So we can certainly move it. It just becomes more accessible to
potential vandalism. To be honest, I've had it several spots, and I've had complaints from neighbors about having to look at the bus out their back door.
But on the gravel, there's no camera to see.
So we've
there's
moved it.
There's less camera coverage, and it's just also, we only have that swinging gate down by the alternative school entrance. You know, okay. We have that lower gate. It's okay. Basically, you can walk up to it if it was not behind that fence, but we could move it there potentially. We just found that to be the most secure place for it. So it's a little odd.
So where are you moving?
I'll move to wherever any we want to move it to.
No, I wasn't. I, you know what?
Joe's got a
sometimes
big
you're sorry you say stuff. I'm sorry.
I mean, it definitely can be moved. Just the logic behind where it is.
It doesn't really. It was just like a question that I probably just should have kept to myself.
Okay.
I mean, we could move it behind the IA if you really wanted to hide it. Yeah, I just know.
I'm not losing sleep no matter where you put that bus. It just looks odd when you're driving down North Main and there's a bus sitting. I just thought it was a little weird. But
we historically.
You obviously have a reason for it. Let's move on.
In the distant past, we did have buses vandalized that were out in the
school. If we're worried about somebody vandalizing the bus on our property, that's more of a problem than what we're talking about, than aesthetically not looking right. Like, that to me is.
Okay. Yes, Bruce. Oh, you quizzically looked at me, and I said to myself,
no.
I was reading the room, and I said, well, Bruce has a question. So.
No.
Okay, good.
Best way, Bruce.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for bringing that confused look today.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, so gates locked at 8. We'll continue to monitor it with the police, and we'll make sure that we use it sparingly on Sundays, which is we've been doing.
Good. Noted.
Are there any other questions on any of the policies and regulations? I'd like to focus on the results of our ESIP.
Yes, sure. So I'll brief. This is under buildings and grounds and facilities, but it kind of crosses both the finance and buildings and grounds and facilities bullets. Number 46 on your agenda tonight is to approve the acceptance of the proposal we received from Honeywell International Incorporated to provide services for our energy savings plan. They submitted just to kind of remind everyone what the ESIP is. The ESIP is a way to secure long-term funding for larger construction projects so long as they result in an energy savings that net of the repayment of that of the debt on that project, there's a positive cash flow to the district. So if you replace a light and saves a dollar, you pay back 50 cents to pay for the light, that would fall under an ESIP funded project. So we received a proposal from Honeywell, which covered our three, their proposal covers our three major initiatives we wanted to achieve, which is an overhaul of all the lighting in the district to more efficient LED lighting. We're in a room right now that's outfitted with LED, with high efficiency lighting, but some of the older classrooms and things are older fluorescent lights, so they'll all be replaced, as well as some upgrades to the rooftop units at MES, and solar PPA agreement that'll go on some of the roofs that we've talked about, Fieldhouse included, as well as the flat roofs at MES and MHS. So we had an interview with them yesterday with Wayne, who's in the stands, a representative of Honeywell. Mike Millam and Rob Notley attended the interview, and it was a comprehensive discussion about what they brought to the table, and everyone's real confident that it's going to be a good relationship and a great project. So looking forward to getting that underway. Any questions about that?
That ends committee of the whole. Can I move the superintendent's report? Okay, one of the things that I'd like to show the board this evening is a picture we got given to us that we'd like to accept this evening as a donation from the class of 1948, the Putnams. This was donated by Marianne Brueger and Richard A. Brueger, who have three sons. Richard was a football and basketball player at the high school in 1948, and they had this picture of the graduating class of 1948 and asked if we'd like to have it to put in place in one of the hallways. I said, of course, we'd like to, and I felt it was important that I brought it to the board tonight and accepted it as a donation. I think it's awesome. Any questions about that at all? In that vein, also regarding the community, we had a very successful the development committee cruise night. We had the cameos here singing, and we had 108 classic automobiles. And I just want to thank the custodians and the maintenance and everybody who put a lot of hard work into that. We grossed $3,000, but of course there was a lot of expenses with that we had to pay out. But it was nice to take in that, since we didn't charge anything for the cars to be here, and the cameos did come at a cost, but it seemed like everybody really enjoyed it. Looking forward to it next year. We have the Center for Learning and Independence Manasquan Game Night on August 25th, where they'll be giving us a check. I don't know the total of how much they're going to be donating to us.
I don't think we will know. I think we get a percentage of the tickets.
The gate?
Yeah.
For those three games? Okay. I just want to bring it to your attention in case you're not doing anything to come out and we get that check on the field. Regarding our enrollment, we're at 1,500, high school 983, elementary school 517. For the month of June, we had all our security and fire drills. From tabletop security on June 13th, fire drill on the 14th in the high school. We had our CLI building also having the same drills. They coordinate with the high school and elementary school. June 13th, they had a tabletop security meeting, and on June 13th, they also had a fire drill. No report for the month in either school regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying. Report from the assistant superintendent.
Sure. Just briefly, at the end of the school year, one of the things Dr. Cajun tasked me with looking into from the technology side is looking at student safety as far as proactive monitoring of what students might be doing with their district-issued devices, right? So we give out laptops that students take home in grades 5 to 12. As part of all of our information systems here in the district, you know, we have records of what websites students go to, of course, and there's content filtering, built into the devices both here and in school. We have records, of course, of emails that go back and forth. We have records of documents. We have all those things in place, right, for compliance. And those would always be things, tools that are available to us after the fact, right, if something happens for an investigative purpose. However, what we don't currently have today is a system in place that would affirmatively alert us, right, if something were happening in real time. And when I say something happening, that could be anything from, minor disciplinary code infractions to something self-harm, something, pornography, anything like that that would be going on. So there's nothing in place today that alerts us, right, in real time if something like that were to occur. We've looked at, since then, a couple products and met with a couple vendors to see what options exist for that. There are a lot of products on the market for that. There are things that, and of course, products that other schools use. This is fairly common. So we're still in the process of that evaluation, but I wanted to kind of present the concept as a general matter tonight to the board. Dr. Cajun asked me to explain that a little bit so that you can understand kind of what direction we're going in and what we're looking at. And again, this would be on their school-issued device, right? So it's a device that we're giving them to use, where they're really, you know, by our policy, should not be an expectation of privacy, right, for that student to be using it. Different products have slightly different technologies about how it works. Some kind of look on the back end at like what those documents and emails are. Some can be installed on the device itself and are kind of looking at what the student is typing into the laptop. And all of them sort of work the same way, right? Usually it's kind of doing that real-time analysis on either what's being typed or what the documents or the emails contain. There's usually a layer of artificial intelligence, right, that kind of tries to discern, you know, whether this is something, you know, obviously different keywords can mean different things in different contexts, right? So it's not as if anytime someone, you know, for example, like they could be doing a health project on drugs, right? That doesn't necessarily mean they're trying to talk about drugs with their friends all the time. So there's typically a first pass by that kind of artificial intelligence to look at what's the, you know, general sense of this? Does this look like it's something concerning? Then all of these companies have as a second layer of that human readers, right? Who can then, if the AI kind of flags it up to that level, a human would look at it and say, okay, what's the broader picture? Like, give them a picture of the child's screen of when it was typed in or the document or the email or something like that. And then from there, based on that determination made by the human looking at it, would be able to decide, is this something to affirmatively alert the school administrator to? Again, depending on the category, that could be something like where it's an email, you know, kind of a workflow of, okay, these are the alerts that we got today or this week or whatever for a principal or vice principal to look at. Or if it's something more immediate, again, something in the area of self-harm, you know, violence, you know, something like that, where that could be a phone call, right, to both administrators, you know, or in the case where an administrator can't be reached, you know, let's say it's 3 a.m. and someone didn't answer their phone, if it's still of that immediate concern, we would work out something with the police department where the police dispatch would kind of be the last line of it. If it was that serious of a situation where, you know, they felt that a wellness check or something to that effect was necessary. So that's where we are today. We're in the investigative stage of these products. With the board's input, Dr. Patience asked me to continue to pursue that. I should cut out more details for you at the August meeting, but it is something that, you know, at least at this point, we would, with your consent, like to look at implementing for this school year.
Early intervention for a child who's emotionally distraught is very important. And we hadn't had any tools at our disposal regarding the internet and the different forms of media that we utilize here in school to be able to check those areas and get notification right away that a child is either going to certain websites or emailing certain students, that because it will work with email as well, correct, on that particular device, that they're in distress. So I wanted that early intervention because of certain situations we've had this year. And Jesse has done a thorough investigation of products that are out there. In fact, we met with several companies when we were out in New Orleans to talk to them about their product. And, you know, we're going to get a product that's fiscally responsible but suits our community. And Jesse will bring that to you in August because I'd like to have it to start in September.
Are other high schools using similar products?
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. I think more high schools are than are not. And I think we're a little behind the curve. I hate to say that because I always try to be in front of the curve with this. But it's very necessary in today's world.
Is this on every, I don't know the mechanics, goes on every laptop?
So it depends on the product, right? There's different ways the technology works depending on the product. So in one example, it wouldn't be software running on the laptop. Right, it would be running kind of in the background on our cloud tenant. We've got to look at emails and documents that are stored. I tend to think that might not be as effective, whereas the ones that have the software running on our actual device are kind of looking at actually what's being typed in real time. So, you know, there's trade-offs to both of those things, but at this point, at least, I'm a little more biased toward having it on the device.
Okay.
So what's the argument if a parent comes up and says, I really don't want you spying on my son or daughter through the laptop, so you can have the laptop, talk about my own laptop?
We wanted to allow that. Good. I think the argument for, us giving you a laptop to use for school and use in school, it's our device. I don't think by our policy there shouldn't be an expectation of privacy on that device.
And Terry, that's a question for the board.
I think it's going to come up. I think you're going to have to get either people to waive that and agree to what's going on the laptop, or have some other position.
Let's step back one second. The laptop that they're using for their assignments and whatever, it's pretty much an internal. I mean, don't most kids that have a laptop that they're using for social media and purposes other than school, they have their own laptop, right? They use the laptop. So why is there an expectation of privacy on the laptop that they're using for their assignments? Am I missing something?
I would be willing to guess that most of our students utilize the laptop we give them also for social networking. Because I don't think they actually realize that they realize that it's our device and we can actually put anything on there that we wanted to track their utilization. I don't think that's ever come up. Parents do sign the form agreeing to taking this laptop and saying that they will follow our policies, but it's never really come up. But I think that it's something that I definitely need to feel more secure. I'm not worried about students going on and finding out how to make bombs, because I think our population is not there. I'm more worried about, especially after COVID, the social and emotional piece of our students struggling. And I do know that there were two incidents this year that we would have known about that with the device that the students were utilizing sooner than later. We did find out about it, but it was later. So anyway, I don't really think that's the case right now, Terry, that they're using two laptops, they're using one. I think that will come up, possibly.
No, I'm just bringing up all, I'm trying to bring up, play devil's advocate here and bring up all the issues. I understand, social media, right? We could block those apps if we wanted to.
I know, I don't want to go that route.
Right, so I'm just, I don't have a position on this either way, but I'm telling you what I'm seeing in my line of work, mm-hmm. about where the arguments that are out there.
Sure. I agree. It's there.
I would only add, it wouldn't be a novel concept to, it wouldn't surprise, I don't think, most students that we have access to information, because again, we've used it routinely for investigative purposes after the fact, right? It's routine where a principal, vice principal will come to us and say, Terry was accused of cheating in my class. Can you look at his emails that he sent to Pete? We've done that routinely. They certainly are aware we can look at their website history, things like that. So,
If I could just ask, in those two instances, Dr. Cajun, and Jesse, if this is for the next meeting, let me know. We found out later than maybe we would have liked to. What would the trigger be? What would the communication look like? Would Mrs. Mineta get an email? Would the guidance counselor? How many people know? And could you share what that would look like, I guess?
Sure, yeah. So I think, again, there's probably variances based on what the product is, but essentially what I'm gathering is all of them. There's different categories of concern, right? So there's, like I said, there's bullying, there's violence, there's self-harm, there's pornography, things like that. Based on those categories and how the information comes in, how it's evaluated in terms of how urgent the matter is, right? So for example, one vendor gave us an example where one school wants to know every time a kid uses a word, a piece of profanity. Yeah, that's probably not something we need to really be super concerned about.
Right.
But whatever, that's their culture. That something like that could result in that school to an email, to the principal who can deal with it at an appropriate time, like anything else. Whereas if it's in a different category, if it's violence, or something, when that's evaluated, looks like some kind of imminent threat to oneself or to others, then it would be resulting in an immediate or near immediate phone call until they can get someone to address it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jim?
Yeah, my only record, we could always add in whatever form the parent signed, you could always add a line saying,
The district reserves its right to utilize surveillance software, which enables us to specifically determine how your child used our device. So we're basically telling them we're surveilling your child.
We already do. We just don't get it instantly.
I think that would cover us.
And along the lines of that form, like today, that form basically says you agree to this policy. If you read the policy and click through the regulation, that's what it says. And we could certainly, working with Mr. Gross, I'm sure, come up with a more, you know, prominent sentence that explains what's going on.
I mean, I'd almost as a parent like to see a link that takes you to the specific software and outlines what they're looking for, so that as a parent, I feel an extra layer of safety knowing that, you know, that the kid next to my kid is being surveilled, maybe not my kid. You know what I mean? How hard can it be to just link to, you know, to put in, like Marty said, there's a sentence in there saying, why make it so gray? Make it more specific. This is, you know, we do have, you know, XYZ software. You know, we incorporate this into your child's laptop. And why not make everybody feel safe instead of making a couple people feel like we're surveilling?
Yeah, I've been bit by that issue. I put in there, you know, including software such as, here's a link to the company. So I think as soon as you start to abbreviate, summarize, then you put yourself in a position where a parent says, well, you didn't summarize it all, or you inaccurately summarized it. And this technology is probably fairly sophisticated, so I wouldn't trust, you know, a layperson like ourselves to summarize the software.
Right. Mm-hmm. But like to Terry's point, if somebody does, for the 2% of the people that are going to have a problem, or the 10% or the 20% of people that are going to have a problem, they're going to go to that link and they're going to look and see what their child's being watched for, and the other people are probably not going to. But it gives them the opportunity to.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it could be a positive instead of a, hey, this is, you know, we're Big Brother's watching your kid. It could be, you know what, Big Brother's protecting you from the kid next to you. Or potential.
And I think being upfront about that and making sure it's clear is
important.
Okay. And then August, there'll be a presentation. Jesse will go over with the product that we're thinking about getting, so you have a thorough understanding of it. Before I close the superintendent's report, everyone has on their portal the AP scores that we got returned. And you all know that Mr. Coppola and Mr. Goodall created an action plan to effectively look at our AP scores from the last 3 years and make a concerted effort through professional development to make it more of an event, make the students take it a little bit more seriously and move forward with this. And, you know, I just want to compliment them because I did see an improvement with our AP scores this year. We're nowhere where we want to be, but we're moving in the right direction. And in some areas, every department was different. In some areas, some of those teachers really took hold of the professional development they were getting. We got quite a few fives. And some departments didn't do as well as others. However, when you look at it holistically, the efforts that my administration put in got resounding results. And I just wanted to compliment them for that. And there's a future there. I'm sure we're going to do better next year and the year after that as we continue this action plan that they put into effect. So that's why I had them up there for you to take a look at, and you can see all the fives we got in certain areas. So, okay. With that, if there are no questions, I'm going to close the superintendent's report.
Can I have a motion to approve and accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Burns, can sit this on. Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Hoberner?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Ruffretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Gary? Does anyone need anything separated out from the mass fund general items numbers 15 and 23? A motion for numbers 15 through number 23.
15 through what?
23. Mr. Baldwin. Mr. Patan.
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patan?
Yes.
Mr. Hobiter?
Yes.
Mr. Ruffretto?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Gary? anyone need anything separated and put it out on the map on sending district items numbers 24 through 53. I have a motion for items 24 to 53. Mr. Orbiter, Mr. LaFreda. Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patanin?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Orbiter?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. LaFreda?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie? Does anyone have any old or new business they want to discuss?
I had a question for you. As we go forward, we're starting to approve field trips for next year. What's the process for hypothetically selecting the eighth grade? Where the eighth grade is going to go for the graduating trip next year? Now that we have a long time to plan ahead, things like that. What's the process for selecting that? How do we go about doing it? Now that we're hopefully putting the pandemic in the rear view, how are we doing that? Is that by committee? Is that by?
Well, the process in my view that Colleen and Rich Kirk used to have was to talk to the students and see exactly where they wanted to go. And I think they used the student council to talk to. And it was always Gettysburg that they chose to go. And, I think.
No, I mean, like getting back to if they want to do overnight versus not overnight, doing this versus that. Where does that start? When does it start? How do you go about doing that?
Well, why don't you let me get back to you after I talk to the building principal about how they're perceiving doing that this year. As far as I'm concerned, if they want to go overnight, that's up to the board decision. I mean, we just had a surf team come back from San Diego. We've never had a problem with that. If you want to open up, we never said no. I mean, this year they were surveyed, the eighth grade, and because of COVID, they ended up in Philadelphia. So why don't I get the process for you so I can bring it back in the August meeting and let you know exactly what we're going to do.
Sounds great.
Good.
Just,
thanks.
Sounds great. I mean, we have 10, I'm just saying, we have 10 months now to do this.
Sure.
We don't have to do this, in a vacuum.
Yeah, and I really think that my attitude is students should go where they would want to go as long as their parents are happy with them going and the board says yes, and they should bring it to our level. But it's always been Gettysburg forever, and I was always open to any other suggestions they had, and Colleen would always bring Gettysburg to me. So. Okay.
I have a motion to go into executive session. Mr. Holder, Mrs. Herbert. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Motion to reconvene. Mr. Boulder and Ms. Bissell. All in favor? Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Ms. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patanin?
Here.
Mrs. Herbert?
Here.
Mr. Hoveter?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yep.
Mr. LaFreda?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena? Mr. Vitale?
Here.
We have four. Can I have a motion for item number 57? That's what I am personal. Mr. O'Connor, Mr. Hoveter.
Is that the yellow sheet, the blue sheet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of them.
I can't vote on the blue.
It's just the yellow.
Just the yellow?
57 is just the yellow.
Okay. Thank you.
Mrs. Pollock, may I ask who has the motion? I have Mr. LaFreda and Mr. Holder. Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patanin?
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter?
Yes.
Mr. LaFreda?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Carried. I have a motion for the Manasquan Sending Districts, items number 58 through 60.
Is that the blue sheet?
58 is the move.
58? Okay, so we'll do, I'm going to retract that. I have a motion for number 58 personnel. Mr. LaFaro and Mr. Vitale.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. DeSalle?
Abstain.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Hobler?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. LaFaro?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Abstain on Thomas Pellegrino, I guess, everything.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Karen?
Don't have a legal job.
I have a motion for.
I didn't say no.
I'm not fully vested, I can pay you.
Number 59 and 60. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Vitale.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. DeSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Hobler?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Libretto?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Karen?
Motion to adjourn.
I'm sorry.